Hey folks, have you heard of cancer-fighting foods? The American Cancer Society discovered diets rich in fruits and vegetables may actually lower your risk of cancer. Think about that for a second. That's really important. Hopefully you hear this and run to the store for 5 servings of fruits and vegetables every day. But if you're like me, you probably don't have the time to do that, right? So maybe you should consider adding Field of Greens to your daily health regimen. Each fruit and veggie in Field of Greens was doctor selected for studied health benefits. There's a heart health group, lungs, kidneys, and metabolism groups, even healthy weight. What your body needs is in each scoop of delicious Field of Greens. I take it every day. Sometimes I put it in a shake. Sometimes I put it in my egg white omelet in the morning. Field of Greens can help prevent, treat, and cure cancer? No, but it can powerfully help you out at your next checkup. Your doctor will notice your improved health or you're going to get your money back. Here's the most amazing thing about it. I started using Field of Greens a year ago. My cholesterol is down, my blood sugar is down, my weight's down, my health is up, my sleeping patterns are better, my metabolism is up. If you want to experience what I've experienced, go check out Field of Greens. Jump into the ring here. You're going to get an enormous benefit. And it's so simple. Single scoop, a couple of seconds, healthy lifestyle all day long. Now, thanks to our good friends at Brickhouse Nutrition, Field of Greens is going to give you a 15% off discount plus free rush shipping. All you got to do is go to fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code JUSTNEWS for your discount. That's promo code JUSTNEWS at fieldofgreens.com. Fieldofgreens.com, promo code JUSTNEWS. Go check it out. And happy Friday. We got a good show for you. Last night, I had a great conversation with Congressman Glenn Grothman from Wisconsin. He was at the rally that Donald Trump attended Tuesday in Green Bay. He's got his finger on so many of the issues that are moving voters in Wisconsin, including why there's a large liberal protest vote against Joe Biden in the Wisconsin primary. Something that Donald Trump said that didn't get picked up in the media at the Wisconsin event, that he opposes any effort to raise the age or change the benefits, lower the benefits, cut benefits for Medicare and Social Security recipients. That got lost in the mainstream media. It wasn't lost on Congressman Grothman. He's going to bring us up to speed on that very important issue over the next few days. I'm really excited about that. We're going to talk about that at the top of the show. In the second block, a brand new candidate for Missouri Governor, Bill Eigel. He's a state senator, getting a lot of attention around the country, an America First Republican. We're trying to introduce you to some of the new candidates that are coming up in the states who could be major players. Bill Eigel, one of them. We'll have that in the second block of the show. I'm really excited about that. In the third block of the show, we've been talking a lot about the struggles that the EV industry has had under Joe Biden. Joe Biden has pushed EVs. The charging stations aren't there. The power grid isn't there. The longevity of the road trip isn't there, particularly in cold weather, inclement weather. And there's a reckoning coming on. Ford just announced yesterday that it will delay its EV SUVs by at least 2 years and focus instead on hybrid vehicles, vehicles that use gas with a little bit of electric. I have a hybrid. I love it. I think it's great. Gets great gas mileage, great power. And I never run out of energy. If I go to a gas station, I'm back to normal. That's a path a lot of people are thinking maybe a better path for America. But while that's going on and doing that, there are some real fundamental shifts. There is concern that some of the EV makers are headed towards bankruptcy because they're losing so many dollars per vehicle, that the subsidy that the federal government is giving is creating an artificial market. Well, we got a great expert. He's done some of the most important research. He actually got data, and it's not hypotheticals with Kevin Dyeratnam. He is a Heritage Foundation chief statistician, and he's done a lot of great work on, do EVs really save emissions? And are a lot of the new regulations that Joe Biden has put in, including the new tailpipe mission, trying to force cars to go to electric, is it really changing the climate change statistics? Is it cooling the planet? Is it saving emissions? Kevin Dyeratnam in the third block is going to bring us up to speed. You're going to be a lot more educated when you hear Kevin's analysis. It's actually quite jarring, and it's all real data. So that's our show today. I'm really excited. Glenn Grothman from Wisconsin, right off the bat. Bill Eigel, the Missouri gubernatorial Republican candidate, and Kevin Dyeratnam, back to back to back on the Friday edition of John Solomon Reports. Now, before we get moving to that, I do want to get to a couple of the breaking news stories that we've had. One of them is a great piece of enterprise. As you know, we're spending a lot of time talking about the failures of the public health establishment during COVID-19, during the pandemic. We know so many of them in so many ways. We know the problems that have occurred with the shots and the fact that they didn't have the efficacy we were promised, and that there are side effects, you know, not incredibly widespread, but widespread enough to raise concern. We know a lot about the failure to focus on therapeutics, to put all the eggs in the vaccine basket, which hasn't worked that well. We know that there's been a lot of distrust because we were lied to about the likely intelligence that COVID emanated from a lab leak in China in Wuhan. While all that is important, but one of the biggest things that I keep talking about is that the lack of transparency, whether it's on the efficacy of therapeutics that were working, like ivermectin, or the lack of transparency about vaccine injuries, vaccine side effects, it has completely gutted the most important concept that we have in the U.S. medical system, and that is that we all have informed consent, that we get the information, then we're allowed to make a decision based on the best data. Well, we weren't allowed to make the best decision because we weren't given the data. In a brand new revelation from my good reporter, Greg Piper, there are some new COVID-19 vaccine injury reports, vaccine effects that were kept from the American people until just this month when the government was forced to give them up, this data up based on litigation. What does it show? It shows that the earliest recipients of the COVID-19 vaccines, including healthcare workers, wrote in tens of thousands of adverse events related to their heart, their ears, their reproductive system, and other conditions. So they reported these side effects, these adverse events, these potential injuries in the CDC database, and the CDC did not disclose them. They only disclosed the checkbox answers. So when someone had a side effect that wasn't in the checkbox, like heart conditions, they didn't give us the data. It's about 780,000 side effects that were in these what were called free text entries into their survey, in the VSafe survey. It's a huge number, and it shows some of the things that we now know are emerging. For instance, problems with your heart, particularly young people, and ringing in your ears, and some other really adverse events. It's pretty remarkable. And it's not a full data release. There's still more that have to be turned over between now and next January. But again, we can't have an informed consent if we don't have the data that gives us that information. If we can't know that there are risks, even if they're small, it's important that we know. We're adults. We're allowed to make our decisions for ourselves and our children. This is a really important story. And on Sunday on the podcast, we're going to dive all in on this because we have Dr. Robert Malone, Dr. Harvey Risch, and Dr. Jay Bhattacharya, three doctors who were ostracized, but they had the COVID-19 dynamics right. And we're going to spend time with them all day Sunday. It's going to be a really important deep dive. What we still don't have right about COVID-19, what we still haven't learned, what is changing, those are all very important dynamics. And that'll be our Sunday podcast. I'm really looking forward to that. Hey, there was an earthquake in the Northeast over where I used to grow up, New York, Connecticut, New Jersey, even some parts of Pennsylvania, around 4.8 magnitude. So a good shake. That's a very important story. Go check that out. Remember, we bring a lot of conservative members of the House Freedom Caucus on this show. But one of the things, they're always talking about wanting to cut spending, but there's a new analysis out that found that Freedom Caucus members got more than $900 million of earmarks for their districts. They criticize earmarks, but they actually were cashing in on them. That's an important dynamic. Good piece of exclusive reporting by my colleague, Nick Ballasy. And one more that I think is important. House leaders are demanding that Mayorkas brief them on terrorists that have been released into the United States, people who are on the terrorist watch list that were allowed in the country despite being on the list. That is a potential major breach. And it's also a very important conversation for all of us to have. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, Congressman Glenn Grossman will be up first. But a quick shout out. As you know, we have amazing partners, sponsors that are supporting Just the News, John Solomon Reports. One of them, Brick House Nutrition, and one of my favorite nutritional products, Field of Greens. It's the healthiest thing I do every day, and it takes me just 30 seconds. I grab a scoop of the Field of Greens powder. There are different flavors. Sometimes I put it in a shake. Sometimes I put it into my egg white omelet I make in the morning, and I get basically five particularly medically chosen fruits and vegetable doses right in a single thing. It hits my vegetable and fruit target every day without having to do a lot of work, without cutting up vegetables, without having to go to the store. It tastes great. I'm particularly a fan of the mixed berry when I'm making the shake version of this, and it has improved my life. My blood sugar has gone down. My cholesterol has gone down. My weight has gone down. My energy's gone up. My ability to sleep more comfortably, that's gone up too. I want you to have the same experience. And so if you go to fieldofgreens.com right now, you're going to get 15% off your first order, plus free rush shipping. All you got to do is when you go to fieldofgreens.com, use the promo code JUSTNEWS. You know that promo code. We use it for a lot of things. Field of Greens is radically different. Each organic fruit and vegetable was medically chosen to support your heart and other vital organ health. I trust it. I've been using it for a year. It's had a profound effect. My doctor loves my blood work these days. My kidney function is better. My blood sugar's down. I'm out of any pre-sugar warning areas. I've done it just by making Field of Greens a daily part of my routine. And you should check it out too. You get 100% money back guarantee. If you're not satisfied, you can get 15% off your first order plus free rush shipping. Just go to fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code JUSTNEWS. That's fieldofgreens.com. Promo code Just News. All right, we'll be back in a second with Congressman Glenn Grothman.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
He's our good friend, Congressman Glenn Grothman. He joins us right now. Congressman, good to have you back on the show.
Glad to be on the show. And you're right. It was an interesting weekend hearing Donald Trump in Wisconsin.
Yeah. So there's been a lot of demagoguery, and there are some Republicans, in fairness, who are starting to talk about maybe we need to cut Medicare and Social Security benefits for future generations. Donald Trump seemed to be pretty unequivocal. I don't think a lot of media paid attention to this important declaration from the president.
It was great. He slapped down those Republicans. You're right, they're a minority of them. But they're Republicans right now. The official retirement age is age 67. You can retire earlier, but to get your full benefit, it has to be age 67. There are Republicans out there who think, we can go up to age 69, maybe even go up to age 70 before you get your full benefit. I was glad to see Donald Trump knocked him down. You know, you can be a congressman at age 70. Because it's not that physically demanding a job. But if you've got a physically demanding job, it can be very difficult to work that hard. Or if you get laid off when you're 60, 61, say you're mid-level management, you try to find a new job in America when you get laid off at 60 or 61. So I was glad Donald Trump, one more time, sticking out for the average guy against some of these out-of-touch congressmen and telling them, hey, if you plan on raising the Social Security age on my watch, forget it. I was glad to see him do it.
Sir, I'm with you. I think that that should be much more publicized, those comments about Social Security. But something that you called last year, you told us when we were there in Wisconsin that Trump needs to focus on illegal immigration and border security. And that, it seems, he is certainly doing. He took your advice. And playing off of the numbers from February, 190,000 encounters on the southern border. That was an all-time high. With respect to President Trump in areas that might not necessarily be inclined to vote Republican, this is going to have a big impact, won't it?
No question. I think we can't talk about the numbers enough. You know, we had the February numbers come out recently, 220,000 people. February is a low month, but 220,000 people crossed the border. In Donald Trump's final year, that was 11,000. So it's up 20 times between February 2020, Donald Trump's last February, and Joe Biden's fourth February. 20 to 220,000. The only way to stop this is to get a new president. I hope all America realizes We cannot keep taking 200,000, 250,000, 300,000 new people every month.
Yeah, no, it's really true. It's an unsustainable amount. Sir, we mentioned at the outset, you have a very important subcommittee, the National Security and Border Subcommittee of the House Oversight Committee. You had a fascinating hearing a couple of weeks ago. One of the immigration judges trying to do his job said he gave orders for deportations and found out, well, the Biden administration didn't deport them. Pretty dramatic testimony. Tell us about it.
Absolutely. Matt Ryan, he was an immigration judge under the Trump administration, but he carried over to the Biden administration. He ordered things like murders, armed robbers, people who committed crimes. You're deported. Get out of here. Just for the sake of it, he decided to check and see, once he issued the orders, how many people were actually kicked out. You know what he found out? None of them were kicked out. Now, maybe if he looked harder, looked for more people, but isn't that scary? The Trump team, or I'm sorry, the Biden team is so much, let's get as many people in America as possible, that even when people are ordered deported for serious crimes, they don't follow up and kick them out. Just horrible.
Sir, I want to ask you about the dynamic in the opinion, especially in blue cities of illegal immigration, because we've seen cities like New York and Los Angeles that are giving, I mean, just mountains of government benefits to illegal aliens. You've got healthcare here in California, but on top of that, housing, these debit cards that they're handing out that can literally be to the tune of thousands of dollars in assistance. It kind of seems like the Biden administration is more concerned about the economic plights of illegal aliens than Americans. Is that message getting through even in blue cities?
Well, I hope it's getting through. And what you got to take out of it is it's a carrot to get more people to come here, right? Joe Biden wants as many people in the country as possible. It's like Barack Obama said, we want to fundamentally change America. And Joe Biden is following up on that. We want to fundamentally change America. We want everybody to come here. We're not going to kick out the criminals. And we're going to give nice housing, nice food, free medical care to people who come here really illegally. And the last chance to save America, in my opinion, I think it's the biggest crisis America has faced really since the Civil War, is to change presidents.
Really remarkable. So I want to stay on that border security because you're doing such important work on many different fronts. One of the things that a lot of people ask me when I go out into the real world, get out of the beltway here, is, all right, we have laws on the book and President Joe Biden doesn't have any penalty when he tells his people don't enforce them. I know there's a lot of members of Congress starting to think about what can be done so that a future president is truly not hamstrung, but required to follow the law. Obviously, there's going to be the impeachment of Mayorkas, whether that goes anywhere in the Senate, nobody knows. But is there any discussion among your colleagues about making clear a future penalty for a president who refuses to follow these immigration laws?
I haven't heard that. It's something we should demand. I'm going to be disappointed soon. But as soon as we get some immigration stuff out of President Biden, that should be part of the package. Yeah. You know, right now he's got a supplemental bill for foreign aid. We have been promised until now by Republican leadership that that's not going to pass without something in there on the border. Maybe that won't happen, but it would be good if we tried to force President Biden to do something. Right now he's the executive branch, and if he doesn't want to enforce the laws, that's what he's able to get away with.
Very smart.
Sir, for a long time, the three of us have been talking about how the cartels effectively have control of the southern border. And I got to say, it seems like they are starting to recruit from the American side of the border, because we just had this story out of Texas, a Texas National Guard member who I think is now suspected of human trafficking and actually participating in some of these crimes at our southern border. Is this something that is more prolific than just this one guy?
We don't have exact details, but I've heard as recently as long ago as a year ago, talking to Border Patrol agents. They don't like to talk about it, but even they've had some people, under the table working with the cartels. That's what's going to happen when the cartels have that much amount of money. I think so far it's a rare occurrence, but it has been happening for quite a while. And of course, it's a problem on the other side of the border too. You don't always have the Mexican Border Patrol doing what's right.
Yeah, Good point. So we've got about 30 seconds left. Real quickly, FISA reform, will it get done? Will Mike Johnson make it a priority in the next couple of weeks? What are you hearing from your leadership?
I think he's got to make it a priority. I'll be very disappointed if it doesn't get done. There's a lot of disappointment that we haven't done anything on the border yet, or at least forced Biden to do something. A lot of us who are concerned about the border are also concerned about the FISA. I'll be very disappointed if Mike doesn't put something on the floor in the next 2 or 3 weeks.
All right, folks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, Bill Eigel, a candidate for Missouri governor, really interesting guy, America First, getting a lot of attention. Be sure to tune in that in a second. Hey, if you want to support Just the News, I get this a lot of the time. What can we do, John, to support your reporting, get you more reporters, get you more editors, get you more research so we can do the work we've done? Well, it's a simple question. Join the VIP subscriber club for $5 a month, $4.99 a month, or $45 a year, $44.99 actually. You get an ad-free experience on the website, so no autoplay videos, no ads in your videos, no ads within your text, and you get a once-a-month opportunity to attend a town hall with me where I answer your questions for an hour or two. That's really cool. To go take advantage of that, go to justthenews.com/subscribe, justthenews.com/subscribe. Subscribe. All right, we'll be back with Bill Eigel right after these messages.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Welcome back, everybody. While no one enjoys paying taxes, many homeowners in America feel a special disdain for any type of taxes and then property taxes on top of that. For those who have paid off their mortgages, sometimes you've got the property taxes on your cars, your livestock, your machinery, and that feels like taxation all over again. And our next guest is campaigning on a promise to do everything he can to remove that tax burden for Missouri taxpayers. Missouri State Senator and gubernatorial candidate Bill Eigel joins us now. Bill, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Yeah, good to have you.
Sir, I know that Missourians are soundly behind you on this issue. Talk to us about why this is so important.
Well, I think that it's not going to come as a surprise to anyone that right now the tax burden, not just in Missouri, but in America, is heavier than it's ever been before. Even adjusted for inflation, we've never sent more of our money to government. And of all the problems we have in this country, none of them have anything to do with government not getting enough of our treasure, whether that's the federal level, the state level, or the local level. So here in Missouri, we're one of the minority of states that actually levies a property tax on vehicles. And so you would literally have to pay rent to government every December 1st in the show me state in order to maintain ownership of the car that you need to get to work every day, to get to each other every day. And it's out of control. So we have, and by the way, we have one of the highest rates of property tax on vehicles. So we're putting together a campaign for governor here that not just talks about cutting this tax, but quite frankly, I don't think I've met a tax that I wasn't willing to cut. The state budget is out of control here in the state of Missouri. And because we have such a tax burden, we're falling behind some of the other big red states led by bold conservative governors around this country. In Missouri, voters are expecting more from Republicans in this state. So we're bold about it. Let's cut the tax burden.
Yeah, that's going to be pretty darn popular. And I know when people look now, you know, a lot of Americans look at their income and like 50% is ticking right off the top. It goes to all the forms of regulatory fees and taxes. And it just seems too much to live on only half of your income. Is this an election where maybe that message gets spent? Because spending has just continued to go up in Washington, Republicans, Democrats. Doesn't really matter who's in control. It feels like this is the election where voters are going to say, you know what? We're going in reverse. We're done with this.
Yeah. Well, and quite frankly, I think this has been building for some time. And I think that, you know, when Donald Trump got elected back in 2016, you know, folks saw that, hey, there are folks out there that aren't beholden to the status quo or the swamp in our nation's capital and maybe not at our state capital. So the folks are resonating to that message. They want a fighter that's going to take on these powerful special interests. And by the way, anytime you talk about getting rid of a revenue stream to government somewhere, you're going to have everyone come out of the woodwork from the municipalities, the counties, or whomever it is to try to oppose that, because government can never get enough. But here we are, we're stagnating as a country, as a state, and folks are looking for folks, leaders in their state capitals that are going to push back on that. So the message has been very received. I don't know of anyone that feels like they're getting more from government for all this sacrifice. And in the Missouri that I'm talking about, that's going to be an economic leader in this country when we get rid of personal property tax on vehicles, or maybe we get rid of income tax at the state level so we can put ourselves in line with some of the other big red conservative states. I think that's a powerful message. We're going to win. Let's go, Missouri.
Sir, Americans are often familiar with the term Freedom Caucus as it relates to the U.S. House, but Missouri has its own Freedom Caucus, and you all made a number of leaps and bounds last week in the Senate to ban all foreign ownership of Missouri farmland, ban ESGs, make gold and silver legal tender, ban debt tender, ban forced CBDCs, which I think a lot of people are in support of, pass a constitutional amendment to limit state income taxes. You guys work fast.
Let's go Missouri, right? I mean, you know, the things that we're doing are not necessarily popular with some of the building denizens here in Jefferson City. In fact, almost every plank in the platform, whether it's lower taxes, whether it's protecting our farmland, these ideas don't get a lot of special interest support. So we're always having to overcome the status quo, the swamp in our own Capitol building. Last week was a great week, but I got to tell you, it hasn't been always this easy in the state of Missouri. When we were trying to push some of our constitutional protections earlier in the session, we made the swamp so angry that they started stripping Freedom Caucus members of our chairmanships. They took away our parking spots. They threatened to take the furniture out of our office spaces. And you know what? This is the same kind of tactics we see from the swamp. They try to silence individuals, just like they're trying to silence Donald Trump at the national level. You know, they're trying to, you know, they're accusing him of crimes. They're trying to take him off the ballot. Well, they're trying those same tactics here in the Missouri, but overwhelmingly, the public supports the ideas that we're talking about. Protecting farmland. I think Missouri ought to be owned by Missourians, or at least Americans, and most Missourians agree with that. I think we should protect ourselves from these environmental social governance scores in the public sector, or these forced digital currencies that our government's trying to put on us. So these are popular ideas, and even though we don't get a lot of respect or love from the special interest down in Jefferson City, the people love it, and we keep delivering the victories.
Yeah. And you mentioned the farmland. I think, you know, you think of Jefferson City, it's a long way away from Beijing, but so many Missourians are keen to what China's been up to the last 10 years. That's another one. I think one of those issues is going to really crop up in 2024. How is China's aggression around the world and in the United States playing in the homeland right now?
Well, I tell you what, you know, this first became a problem in Missouri back in 2013 when, unfortunately, the legislature passed a bill that allowed any foreign country to buy up to 270,000 acres of our farmland. And it was specifically to facilitate a deal of one of our largest food producers, Smithfield Foods, up in Northwest Missouri, to be sold to Chinese corporations, just out of control. And we lost almost 50,000 acres. Of farmland in that deal that was voted on by another Republican who's also running to be the next governor of the state of Missouri. And as you can imagine, the fallout from that vote has been felt in Missouri electoral politics for years. We've continued to see China become more aggressive towards the United States. They are not our friend. They want to replace us on the national stage. And you've had very few leaders in the United States willing to stand up and take a stand against folks who are not our friends like this. So, we've been bold about the fact that we want to prevent China or any foreign country from buying our farmland. We want to maintain control of our food supply. The best way to do that is by passing precisely the kind of ban that we passed here in the state of Missouri last week. Lots of folks talking about precisely these types of issues in the state of Missouri, and we continue to see our message spreading.
Yeah.
I love it. Sir, can you tell everybody where they can find your campaign website and find out where they can donate?
Yeah, BillEigel.com. That's my website. We've had 40,000 individuals sign up to be a part of our campaign. folks have been donating from all around the country. They want to see leaders get into the gubernatorial mansions in every state in America, even if it's $1, $5 at a time. Check out BillEigel.com. Our whole platform's on there. And like I said, let's go Missouri.
All right, folks, don't go anywhere. When we come back, we're going to have a great conversation with one of the Heritage Foundation's most trusted statisticians and researchers. He's got some data on whether or not all of this EV push, this tail emission pipe regulation, is really making a difference to climate change, cooling the planet, reducing emissions. You won't want to miss this conversation. It's pretty bold. We'll have that right after these messages.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back, everybody. Plenty of recent polling shows that interest in electric vehicles is declining, with respondents often citing safety and reliability concerns as their primary reasons. Now, despite this, the Biden administration insists on pushing EVs, regardless of whether or not Americans actually want them. The EPA claims that its strict new standards on tailpipe emission standards will provide important health benefits to millions of people across the country. Yeah, well, meanwhile, conservative groups have stepped up to sue in order to stop Virginia's offshore wind project, with some of them backing wildlife, including life of whales. Now, here to dive into these topics in more detail is the Heritage Foundation's chief statistician and senior research fellow. He is Kevin Dyaratna, and he joins us now. Kevin, thank you so much for joining us.
Good to be with you, Amanda.
I want to hone in first on this Virginia story because, you know, regardless of the method or type of green energy, whether it's solar panels, wind energy with wind turbines, it is unsightly a lot of times. But this is a bigger issue because you have folks who are saying that this project is actually creating cracks in their walls. That's dangerous and seems irresponsible, and yet they are just plowing through, right?
Absolutely. It's quite ridiculous. I mean, everybody at the end of the day wants clean air. Everybody wants clean water. Everybody wants a healthy environment. And everybody wants affordable and reliable energy. But the bottom line is, are these policies actually getting us there? And if the concern is climate change, are the policies actually going to impact that goal? And the answer is no.
Really the key. There's so much emotion, there's so much ideology in this debate. But when you actually start looking at the data, you get a very different picture. You've done a big study on some of these offshore wind projects. Tell us what you found.
Absolutely. So that is a great question. So at the Heritage Foundation Center for Data Analysis, we have a variety of energy and climate models. One is the model for the assessment of greenhouse gas climate change, magic with two C's. It is an EPA model. And we found that if the state of Virginia were to completely eliminate CO2 emissions, even if you assume an overly sensitive climate, even assuming these doom and gloom predictions by the left are actually true, it would have less than 0.0029 degrees Celsius temperature mitigation by the end of the century. Wow. Because the bottom line is China and India continue to emit CO2 emissions, and these policies are going to do absolutely nothing besides continue to irritate Virginia residents and be extremely expensive. We looked at a similar analysis about regarding the state of New Jersey, and we found that this a similar type of wind project would cost the average taxpayer in the state of New Jersey $8,000. We haven't run the number specific for New Jersey, but again, these projects are expensive, and again, they're going to have no meaningful impact on the climate. They're just ridiculous.
Amazing.
Yeah. I know a lot of people feel that way. I want to ask you about these recent EPA tailpipe rules. They effectively mandate electric vehicles, but you also found that they would really not have any effect at all on climate change. It just makes them more expensive and, frankly, less reliable, which I've personally experienced.
That is again the case, Amanda. Yeah, and that's also a great question. I mean, again, so there are all these pushes that are just essentially futile efforts to avert climate change. So these tailpipe mandates, the idea is to artificially induce demand toward electric cars. Well, again, if that's the goal, we ran these simulations at the Heritage Foundation Center for Data Analysis, and if you threw every single internal combustion engine vehicle off the road and you replaced it with an EV, you would have, again, a trifling impact on the climate. I think less than 0.07 degrees Celsius temperature mitigation by the end of the century, again, assuming an overly sensitive climate. And it's simply because these EVs, they don't really impact CO2 emissions that much. The internal combustion engine vehicles don't either. The bottom line is, again, if this is the goal, these policies aren't going to impact CO2 emissions globally.
Yeah, so important. One of the things that is becoming clear is that the Biden administration push is creating a manipulated market. They're trying to create a demand that actually doesn't exist among the American populace. The warning signs of that strategy coming out in many ways. Tesla's first quarter EV sales way down. Ford today delaying its EV SUV production for 2 years because there isn't the demand there. They don't feel that there's enough infrastructure in place. They're going to focus instead on hybrids for a few years. The market keeps speaking. When will Joe Biden, if ever, listen to it?
I don't know. I mean, that's a great question. Again, the government can't force demand when it's not there. Yeah. Government mandates didn't influence the adaptation of smartphones, for example. Government mandates didn't influence the adaptation of home computers. Government mandates didn't influence the adaptation of, say, the fax machine decades ago. These things were brilliant innovations that penetrated the market. And EVs, they are, I will tell you, a great testament to American ingenuity. But the bottom line is the market ready for widespread adaptation? People should be able to decide what car is best for them. If people want EVs, that's perfectly fine, but people should be able to choose the car that is best for them. And again, if the concern is about climate change, this is not the way to go. This is not going to do anything.
Yeah. Speaking of adaptations, I want to ask you about when in the future we could have more electric vehicles on the road than combustion engines, because you look at the trickle-down repercussions of forcing this. Obviously, we don't have the electrical grid for it. But also something that I don't think it's talked about enough is that EVs are very heavy, and our infrastructure in America, our highways and our freeways, don't necessarily have the capacity to handle that traffic. When in the future do you think those preparations and adaptations could be made such that maybe we could go further in this direction?
Yeah, another great question. I mean, it's really hard to visualize what the future will have in store. I mean, for example, George Washington hundreds of years ago would have had no idea that someday we would have objects known as satellites orbiting the Earth that would basically help us guide ourselves in cars via GPS technology. So it's really hard to predict what the future will have in store. But what we really need to do is allow the market to operate sans government involvement and let American ingenuity really let things let things take off, no pun intended.
Yeah, great point. Kevin, got about 30 seconds left real quickly. You mentioned China. It's the big elephant in the room when we're talking about climate change. Anything we make in gains gets erased, plus more, by China's consumption of energy. When does America come to that realization that this is a losing battle?
We're just going to have to continue to push the envelope on this and really make it clear to the American people, as well as the rest of the world, that China and India are the biggest emitters. And if the concern is about climate change, then policies, if the United States were to completely eliminate CO2 emissions, we have modeled this time and time again at the Heritage Foundation, you'd have less than 0.2 degrees Celsius temperature mitigation by the end of the century, even assuming an overly sensitive climate. You would also have a trifling impact if the EU were to engage in a similar action as well. I think my last numbers were 0.013 Celsius temperature mitigation if the EU were to completely abate CO2 emissions.
All right, folks, that wraps up another edition of John Solomon Reports, a podcast from Just the News. A big thank you to all of our guests today, including Congressman Glenn Grossman, Bill Eigel, Kevin Igaragna. That was really a great conversation. I think we learned a lot. Be sure to check out justthenews.com. Download the apps from the Android and Apple stores. And always, if you want to subscribe, all $5 of your monthly subscription will go to hiring new reporters here at Just the News so we can serve you better. All right, we'll be back tomorrow, Saturday, with a new edition of John Solomon Reports. Until then, God bless and have a great night.